On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look at trying to understand the value of time and what it can mean for your financial plan. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennycott here, joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good. Not going to even talk about the weather today.
Weather talk.
No. Let's bypass it.
We've actually got weather stuff to talk about.
What else is happening?
Oh, it's nearly Christmas is coming up, isn't it? It's starting to get... I was in the supermarket the other day and there's just Christmas stuff absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, my Insta feed is full of kids setting up Christmas trees. Very exciting.
That life stage. All the kids and setting it up, yeah.
Guilty as charged also. I was pretty excited that our kids got there. They decorated, did a pretty good job.
Your mum's known as the goat when it comes to Christmas decorations.
Yeah, pretty much undisputed. So there might be a few out there sort of who might want to challenge, but it's pretty epic. So it's exciting, but it does make you think about, like, where has this year gone? So there was times when I thought it was dragging, and then you sort of look up and go, gosh, I've got to plan a Christmas party. I'm getting emails from different venues, and it's that time of year. Have you put in your vote for where we're going for Christmas party?
Yeah, I think my vote got up, didn't it? Where are we going? The Yarra Valley or somewhere like that?
So I got outvoted, obviously.
Yeah,
so.
I think you did. Yeah.
Disappointing, but we move on. So we want to think a little bit bigger, but stay on the concept of time. And have a look, think about like the relationship between time, money, and financial planning. Because I think it's pretty important and sort of a building block for everything we do. So I thought we'd talk about, I guess, the time value of money and understanding what that looks like in terms of your financial planning. And I know that sort of the time value of money is one of those core principles of finance. It shows you how much the value of an investment will change between two given dates, based on an expected level of return. And you see it everywhere. Like you see it in retirement projections, just in your sort of investment portfolio projections, your loan repayment terms, which is pretty topical at the moment, with those stretching out longer and longer if you haven't adjusted your repayments. So, but also like the valuations for companies, like discounted cash flow valuations are all based on the time value of money. So it's perversive, it's everywhere. We're going to dig into it. So for you, Zach, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about, you know, time, money, and the relationship with financial planning?
Yeah, so I was reading a book about
this
the other day. I know, it's funny how it comes up, isn't it? We read something and then suddenly appears on the podcast.
I'm more shocked that you read a book.
And one of its main points is that even though people have different incomes and different backgrounds, the one thing that we all have in common is that we get 24 hours in the day. Each and every day. Every day that 24 hours restarts. And as humans, our thinking tends to be a bit more short to medium term. So especially in the current day and age, I know this is something that my generation struggles quite a bit with, is this like instant gratification.
Excuse me, are you saying, like, the listeners out there might not know that we're of different generations?
I think we are the same generation, aren't we?
Am I not a millennial? No.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where do I fit?
Carry on, I've disrupted you.
Yeah. So you do crave that instant gratification. This can sometimes lead to you foregoing or not looking at longer term goals or potentially not saving for your future self. So like a lot of the time, this leads to people putting things in the too hard basket. It's the adage of the, you know, I'll just stop eating smashed avo and you can buy a house and, you know, all
that. Avo's a lot cheaper now than it was when that was getting bandied around. Just,
don't buy iceberg lettuces at the moment or something
Burned
like this.
Salt was really peddling that. And it does. And I think the thing that's sort of in the news last week, like, where people try and rush and get outsized investment gains really quickly. And, you know, not to jump out here because we've probably got some listeners that might be affected, but like the crypto world is a little bit shook at the moment. So I think that's one of those things where people just try and rush things a little bit as well.
Yeah, you look, and that's that's a good point. It's not so much the instant gratification, but you're looking for those instant returns too, the high risk, high return, like the things that'll be. That's what, why do people play Tets Lotto? It's like in terms of the percentage chance and
I'd like the big win.
Yeah, that's what it is. You chase that. Yeah, you chase that big win instantly. And that's that's a good point. Apart
probably not a sound financial plan though.
Definitely not in terms of your percentage chance of making that happen. It's it's definitely not the best thing to do. But yeah, that's a good point. Is that people are looking for that instant win. So use time to your advantage, and which we'll talk about a bit later. Is the longer you stay invested, the longer that you hold things, usually the better off that you are.
Absolutely, and I agree with you there. Like I'm guilty of chasing instant gratification. At times, not consistently. I sort of tame that beast pretty well with good budgeting, but we're not going to go down that path. You know, you're always getting me banging on about budgeting. but I think, like, on one side, yes, try and tame that instant gratification. But on the other side, I think too often people feel like unnecessary levels of anxiety and guilt over enjoying themselves, like actually living your life. And I think within reason, of course, that should be done. And I think the financial planning industry is probably a little bit to blame for this.
Yeah, well, that's the easiest advice in the world, isn't it? Just save as much as you can. And
save heaps, spend nothing. Yeah. And we look like rock stars because you sort of balance just naturally. Time does its thing.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not going to steal your thunder later, but we've got a little bit of a eighth wonder of the world, apparently, we're talking about. So, but I think that is. Like, spend less now, you'll have exponentially more later. Yeah. I think we've all heard it. You know, you're talking about the Spash Navo, the coffee, which we're sitting here drinking two coffees at the moment that we've bought. Just, got to support local business. And I do enjoy a coffee.
Yeah.
So, like say $50 a week, you'll have $250,000 in, 30 years. So while based on those inputs, it's factual, I reckon that's only half the story. So spending money shouldn't be instantly thought of as a negative. Sure, if you spend nothing, save everything, you'll be richer in financial terms, but I think at what cost? So what have you sacrificed in terms of living? So for me, it's all about value. So spend money on the things that actually matter, that you're going to derive some enjoyment from, and find a happy balance. So before we sort of move on to the next one, I think I'd be looking at going flip it on its head. So let's look at the money value of time, not the time value of money.
Yeah.
Look at both. What's your time, enjoyment? What are those experiences worth? Can you put a price on them? Some things are priceless. I don't know, who was it, a Visa ad or something? It's in my back of my mind.
Yeah, MasterCard maybe.
MasterCard. But it's, I think it rings true. So it's much harder to quantify and put a value on those things, but I think it's definitely worthwhile just taking that different perspective and that look at it. And then I think you get that balance right of going, your money's going towards things that actually matter. You're enjoying things. You're not sort of splurging on things that don't really matter. So you end up sort of with a better result and a more fulfilled life.
Well, it's like, why do people pay for a cleaner or, anything like that?
I know why, because I hate cleaning.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll take you way longer to get it done. And that's is that kind of what you're getting at here?
I'd get it done quicker, but it'd be really poorly done. Yeah. Would be that thing of going. But it is that, we've all got things that I think sometimes look at your spending as an investment of, creating more time for yourself. Because I think what you said before about, we've all only got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
365 days a year in most years, and you get an odd, odd year with leap year and get an extra day.
Those interesting Twitter.
Was it about Twitter's leap years?
No, it was about.
I'm interested where this is going.
It was interested about it shows you your time, hours per day spent with family, kids, like at what age is it, and what age is a peak. And it shows that like a lot of the time, there's really only like a couple of years. So if you've got young kids, shows like the average was like 6 hours a day between the ages of like 30 and 32. And then it starts to drop off dramatically. So if you're wasting hours in the day, potentially during those times, you're missing out on a lot of the things. So it was, it was interesting. I'll have to find it and post it in the show notes. But it was, it was kind of going on like, you said it was beautiful and depressing in the way that we just don't spend that much time with people we care about. And so it's like 1 to 2 hours a day. Like friends was like under an hour a day that you'd see friends. So if you're wasting time on or not using time to the best advantage. It's time that you're forgoing with people that you love and want to spend time with.
Oh, that's a good thing. And I think you can, time is a commodity as much as money is. Like, money is a sort of an easy commodity for us to wrap our heads around because you spend it, you use it every day. But time, you in the back, you don't even realize you're doing it, but you're spending time all the time. It's, yeah. And it is, I still remember that Justin Timberlake movie. We're going to go on so many segues here where he's sort of, it's sort of on his wrist, his forearm.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of ticking now.
That's how you paid for things.
Yeah. And, yeah. So I think that's a really good way to think of it. So, but what's your next sort of way of thinking about time, Zach?
Yeah. So I think when you think about time, you can place, when you're trying to do goal setting, you can, these goals can potentially leave you feeling like they're unrealistic, especially if these goals can take years and years to potentially happen. So like if you're a young person looking to save for a deposit, well, that deposit could potentially take years to accumulate. And then as I said earlier, we often crave that instant gratification. So like breaking it down in those bigger, longer term goals into short, more achievable goals, I think can be good for your psyche. Because I don't know, like I struggle with the idea to the notion of in years. Like if you're going like, okay, like yeah, and I think if
as
I need
you get
to
older,
save,
it gets easier. Zach.
Yeah. Like if you need to save $100,000 for a deposit, you know, how long is that going to take you? Well, everyone's going to be different. But you might go, this is a realistic, how much am I able to save per week? And then start to break it down that way. So I think that's the type of thing that you can do and start to hit like little goals along the way. So each month, like first month I have this, first 6 months I got this, first year I'm at this, and start to celebrate those little wins as well, because otherwise like progress can seem slow, but sticking to the goal will improve your life, because it's a goal that's obviously important. And the worst thing you can do is get disillusioned and give up because you're not seeing progress quickly enough.
And progress, it can be a slow burn, really really slow at the start, and that's slowest. And it's similar like to a lot of aspects of life where you go to the gym, you can't expect to hop on a treadie and shed 30 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm learning talking pounds. It's because I've been smoking meats and everything's in, like, everything's American pounds. And in pounds. So let's say you want to lose 20 kilos.
Yeah.
Or 10 kilos. Well, it's not going to happen instantly. It's but you've got to get excited about going, you know what? There is some joy to be, you know, taken out of, I've actually gone to the gym and I've done something and I've taken a step.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about the learning a musical instrument. It can just be super, super frustrating, and then, you know, suddenly it starts to click a bit later on and becomes a lot easier.
I can't comment on that, so yeah. I never got past the recorder. So, yeah, but I think that is it. Like, with investing, it is that thing of going, it doesn't start, the compounding effect doesn't take place for a long time in any meaningful way. So you sort of got to be patient. And yeah, these years like 2022 are probably challenging if someone started out their journey this year, because you might actually be thinking, I'm just spinning my tires and going nowhere.
Yeah, but you're seeing if you're putting contributions in and they're disappearing.
Yeah, but I think you will be rewarded over time. It's just to keep up that discipline and sort of let that habit form. And that's a success in itself.
Definitely. What else have you got for us?
Well, we're talking about goals, and I know that does set the stage for knowing how you're tracking and times at that input of going, am I on track? So I want to do it by this X date or this age. How am I going? So I think one of the big ones, just as a sort of a worked case study, and I know the podcast is a terrible thing for case studies, so I'm not going to be able to go through every assumption that we use.
Yeah.
But let's like try and answer the question for, you know, an average couple. How much money do I need to retire? And I think there's so many factors that come into that. And of course, you know, we use some pretty fancy software in the background to calculate it. But, you know, you can do it on Excel spreadsheet and work it out as well. But I think there's a few key levers, and all of them are somehow related to time and money. So I think it's that thing of going, well, how much are you going to spend to live? So like now and in the lead up, like in the lead up to retirement, but also in retirement, how long are you going to work for? So when's retirement? So how far in the future is it? And then the other one is going, well, what investment approach? And that one, you're probably going, scratch your head, going, how the hell has that got anything to do with time? But it does. So I think you look at this as a high level case, and I won't bore you with the details of it. And if you want the case study, let me know. It was at a seminar that I did recently from TAG, so shout out to them. But let's look at the first one. Like, how much you spend will either is either going to erode or preserve your investment capital. So therefore, it's going to impact the number of years you can maintain a certain lifestyle.
Hmm.
So out of interest, this one. So these are a set of clients that are going to retire in the next decade or so. So an increase to their expenses is going to sort of shave off 6 years worth of their how long their money's going to last.
Yeah, the increase of 15% to the expenses.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a decrease of 15% is going to sort of increase it by 9 years.
Right.
So that's a pretty material impact. And sometimes this is taken away from you. Like, we're all facing cost of living pressures, but that's a lever you can pull in your planning, but also sort of brings home of going over time, these impacts compound. Again, not stealing the thunder for the last point, Zach, but the other one is like having a look at the time. So when are you going to retire? So, yeah, pretty minor change, like 2 years either side, so plus or minus. What if you extended your retirement date out by 2 years? So instead of aiming for age 60, you went to age 62. This might add around about 7 years to how long your money is going to actually last you. And vice versa, you bring it forward 2 years, well, you're going to shave 8 years off how long that's going to last. So pretty pivotal.
A lot of people, when you show them the modeling around, you know, when they're looking at retirement dates, it's they'll often go, all right, like I can see myself keep going because it gives me that extra added level of security. Or it's also like people then choose to do potentially part-time and things like that.
Yeah, and part-time makes a big difference. And yeah, sometimes people go, that can't be right. But it is. It's those things of going, the sooner you start drawing down your capital, the quicker it starts to evaporate.
Yeah, two more years of that compounding at its highest rate, you know, your super balances or your asset balances.
Yeah, well, it's that going up, but also you're not spending it at the same time. So it's a two-pronged sort of attack there.
Yeah.
And the other one I mentioned about the investment profile, like how do you invest your money? It doesn't have an obvious link to time, but in a way it does, because all your investment capital that you've got, your retirement savings, is actually compounding. So it's earning a rate of return. So depending on how much risk you're happy to take, you can't control what's happening in markets, but the level of risk you take will have a direct link to what your returns will be. So assume you're balanced and you go up a notch to a growth profile and you might get 1% more. Well, you know, that's going to add potentially another 5 years before you run out of money.
Right.
The flip side, you get 1% less because you've been more conservative. Well, that might shave 3 years off how long your capital is going to last. So you see there, like, time is everywhere in terms of its weight. So it's sort of this, it's a challenge for you to manage in terms of your financial plan.
But also with that then as well, it's like the longer you wait to change things and you just go sit and push it to the back and whatnot, the more impact then it starts to have, obviously, as well. So if you're imbalanced and you might be a growth or high growth investor, but it's just something that you've never, like, you can't be bothered changing, or you just put in the too hard basket. Well, the longer that goes on, the more of an impact that it starts to have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like, all these things, yeah, you're not in control of everything that happens in the world, but you can definitely influence some of these planning points because you need to be thinking about it. So that'd be sort of the key takeaway of going, write it down, work out, like, what are you actually trying to achieve? Because then you know where you're sort of aiming for, and then you can run the numbers and go, am I on track or not?
Yeah, definitely. The other point that I'd say is that you need to use time to your advantage. So compound interest, we often talk about, it's the eighth wonder of the world. And the earlier you start, the more that interest compounds. So if you picture like a snowball running down a hill, gathering speed, and then like becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, like that's essentially what's happening to your investment as time goes by. We often talk about on here that the best time to start investing was yesterday and the next best time is today. And that's why, it's because of compound interest. And it also doesn't necessarily matter exactly what you start with. Obviously, the more that you start with, the better the impact can be. But it is just all about making sure that you get started and sticking to it and starting to invest and continue investing on an ongoing basis. Because, yeah, compound interest is that's what we harp on about quite a lot. And Vanguard do their chart posters that they've got online, so which I'll post the in the show notes for you to look at. But they do, just to show the impact of compound interest. So they've got it going back for this one where they go to the 30th of June 2022. And they go back all the way to 1992, so 30 years if you started with $10,000. So if you kept that and it was just invested as per inflation, so that would average 2.5%, and you're at 21,000 Today, and if you're just keeping it in cash, you're at $35,000. But if you had that $10,000 in shares, so US shares, you're at $182,000. Australian shares, you're at $131,000. So, like, it's a massive, massive difference. And all that is it's just sat in there, being left there and just compounded.
Yeah, and sometimes doing nothing and forgetting about it and just sort of being patient is the best way to achieve success. So it's sort of one of the free lunches, time in the market. Well, not exactly free because you are spending time. But
yeah, and you cop, there's various down points. But even when you look at like the most recent volatility and you start to put in perspective of how long you've held that money, it looks like nothing, a little blip on the radar.
Yeah, and in the moment it feels tough, but I think that puts it into perspective of going, over long periods of time, it dampens out those sort of big falls. Because in that 30-year period, we'd had several bear markets, and yet the returns are pretty phenomenal. So, good lesson out there for those. So,
that's it. Is there anything else?
Oh, nothing. Are you throwing at me?
Yeah, I was throwing at you.
I would say, just jot these things down. Start to think about it. I do like the thought of don't just think of one element of how you've sort of assessed the value of money. Mm. You know, in terms of you want to have a look at going, what are you getting for it? So how well are you living your life? Does it align with what's important to you? And then I think you're going to be happier. And then if you're not sure whether you're on track or not, there's plenty of retirement calculators online. There's compound interest calculators. I know there's some on the Money Smart website. Noel Whittaker has a lot of good ones on his as well. Because those might just give you the sanity check to go, hey, is this realistic? And then if you need to sort of proceed further, like reach out, go speak to a good advisor. Because then you can sort of proceed with confidence and hopefully build that momentum and sort of stay focused on it. Good session. I enjoyed that one.
Very good. As always, if you've got any questions, email us at connectivicada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.